right. Hope each and every one of you had a wonderful week. And I see why that nobody eat too much. So, all righty. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, 39, start with verse 39. Luke chapter 7. And I'll tell you what, let's start with verse 36. But over here in Matthew chapter 9, and verse 20 says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole." In chapter 7 of the book of Luke, chapter 7 and verse 36, it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ornaments and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he was a prophet, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on." Now we know that right here that he was an individual, a lady, that not only did she need the master's touch, but we're also seen over here in the book of Matthew chapter 9. And where the lady right here was healed with the 12 issues of blood. I mean, with the issue of blood for 12 years. She had been sick for 12 solid years. She did not know what to do, but she heard about a man. And heard this man was named Jesus. And he was the master. And he was the Messiah at that time. But not only that, She knew if she could get in touch with him, she knew if she could just touch his garment, that she would be made whole. She had faith in realizing in what he had done and where he had been and what he is going to do. But then Jesus went into the Pharisee's house, and there was a individual in there was a sinner, and he called her a sinner. He said, she's a sinner. Well, see, that was Jesus. Gee, you'll always, in the Bible, you'll always find Jesus around the sinners. You'll always find Jesus where the sinners was at, because see, that's what he was after. He was after to see the sinners to come to him for forgiveness and to touch the garment. And that, if I had a title to this message, it would be the Master's Touch. Because we're speaking about the Master. But not only the Master, but we're also speaking about the touch of the individual that touched the hem of his garments. The Master's Touch. There's a need of the Master's touch today in the house of the Lord. There's a need for it in individuals' lives. There's a need for it in our homes. There's a need for it in our schools, in our churches, in our nation, and in the world. The Master's touch. We need to let people know that all they have to do is just put their hand forward to where they can just touch the Master. Because the Master's right there where they're at. And that's all he wants to do, is just hear from them. Cry, we must cry out to the Master. Say, Master, I need thy touch on my life today. Yes, I need his touch every day. We all do. And not only that, for us to be able to go out and visit, invite people, and witness for him, we have to have the Master's touch on our life as we go. Because we'll see, we'll look at that sinner like Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at the sinner, not as a sinner, but Jesus looked to them as an individual that was brokenhearted, that was hard-hearted, that needed something. And they also, the first thing that the sinner needs is a converting touch. A converting touch from who? From the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what touches and convicts people's hearts. And if the Holy Spirit will convict an individual's heart, the individual will not get no rest, will not get no sleep, unless they surrender unto the Holy Spirit. We see over here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5 where there was an individual there. In chapter 8, in the very first verse of chapter 9, he was talking about a sinner. But not only was he, they realized that Saul at that time was a sinner, was a devout sinner. He was the one that went out and to have the Christians killed, went out and destroyed the synagogues, went about destroying the churches. We're having it the same day that is happening today as we live in 2015. This right here was way back after the Lord Jesus Christ had went to Calvary and died and shed his blood. Now he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. But he was still making intercessions for the sinner. He was still looking to the sinner. He still wanted that sinner to come and trust him and believe in him. Because if they didn't, they would have no way out. We have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with our heart, not with our mind. Yes, we can take our mind and we can come to church and I know all about the rituals that goes on in the house of the Lord. I know everything that goes on. I know the proper channels to go through. Even the preachers today, we done got so we've got so bogged down, and we got so to the point that we have to do it this way. Well, it's time for me to have a song. Now it's time to take up the offering. Now it's time to do this. It's time to do that. It's time. We have to have a bulletin. We have to go right by the bulletins. I know what bulletins are. They've had them to me before in churches that I went to visit and to preach. They'd hand me the bulletin. And the first thing I'd do, I'd look at the bulletin. They'd have my name written down there when I'm supposed to come up after which and which song. But they do not have the title of my message. Because every church, they've asked me, they says, well, can you give us the title of your message and where you're going to be preaching from? I said, yeah, I can give it to you. But it's going to probably be something different Sunday, the Sunday I come. Because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not led by man. But yet we're so programmed. Do we have to do it this way? We have to do it that way. No, we don't. We have to do it God's way. And if we do it God's way, then we know that we're on the right track. We ain't on that track of destruction that where Satan's on. But we're on that right track. Acts chapter 9 and verse 7 says, and the man was journeyed with him stood speechless. I've been over to the mall there in Danville some years back. Me and Brother James, this was right after Brother James had his heart attack. And he'd come out of the hospital after he had open heart surgery and everything. And when he could, the doctor told him, says, now you need to walk. You need to try to start walking some every day. To where you can build up at least to 3 miles a day. And I started going over there with him. Meeting him at the mall and we'd walk. First month, he'd walk one round off. That's all he would do. That's all I would do too. I didn't push him. Because when he said, well, that's my round. I said, thank the Lord. I didn't really want to do it, did I? But you know, but he worked it up. He worked it up the way he would walk in 3 miles a day at the mall.
Not only that, he helped me to where I could work up to the point of where I could start walking in 3 miles. But then there was people that was coming and they started walking with us. One day an individual come in there and says, I don't know how many of you know him or not, says, but you know, we've been praying for him a long time. Says he, you know, he'd go to church and then he'd just drop out and he wouldn't go no more for a long time and everything. And said that he come to church yesterday morning. And said, guess what? He was at last night too. That was just on Monday morning. He said he was at back last night. Said he got saved yesterday morning. And he was back last night. The people that was around in the mall walking with us and everything, they was there. And when he said that, I don't know what come over me, but a great old hallelujah come out of me. And when it did, the people stopped and they looked like that they didn't have no idea what was going on. They stood speechless, like they did in the day of when Paul got saved. People today can still recognize who the Master is. The Master is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must take Him and allow Him to get inside of our hearts. Yeah, I can have a head knowledge of Him. But if I don't have the heart knowledge, that head knowledge, the only thing that head knowledge is going to do is going to carry me deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Why? Because I'm going to just come to church. I'm going to come and I'm going to get in there with them. And I'm going to sing about how great they are. I'm going to sing about the showers of blessings. I'm going to sing about the victory that we have in Jesus. I'm going to sing about the amazing grace. And if I stay there long enough, those songs will not touch my heart. It won't soften it. It will just touch me. What's the word? Intellectual. You know what I'm talking about. But it's all but right here it says, they did not respond to the voice that they heard. Just like the people. The people they don't respond. You may have some that will respond unto the voice of the Holy Spirit. And yes, they will come. But then you have some people like this, well, he's coming. Bless Pat, I just wonder how long he's going to stay in there. He ain't going to stay that long. He don't know if finish anything he starts. That's the problem. They started it. That's the reason they don't know if finish it. But if it allow the Holy Spirit to take up an abode in the heart, with that converting touch, they won't have to worry about where they started at. They're worried about and they're wondering about how they're going to finish. How they're going to finish the race.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is Paul's writing. This is Paul's writing right after the conversion of Saul, which his name now is Paul. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that he's saying right here, said, if any man, therefore, if any man knows Christ as a Savior, he will live within the heart because they are new being. And all of our sins have gone away, have been washed from our inward soul. All the sins that we've committed in the past is gone. Not only is the past, our past sin is gone, but our present sin is gone. And our future sin is going to be gone. Why? Because we are not judged by Jesus Christ. We are judged by the Father in heaven. And when we were judged by the Father, and when I sin against God, then the Holy Spirit will convict me of that sin. And then, who do I go to? I go to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Forgive me for what I've done. I've done wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Just help me. Not only that, his son would basically come back and say, Donnie, he says, I can't forgive you of your sin, but I will plead your case out. I'm your lawyer. I'm your caseworker. He says, I'll plead your case. To who? God the Father. And when Jesus Christ says that, you know what? I know that I'm forgiven. You may tell you why? Because I'm the elder brother. I mean, Jesus Christ is my elder brother. And my elder brother has never lost a case. Why? Because he knows the judge personally. Never lost a case. He says, son, you are forgiven because the Father could not see no sin. The Father seen where you have not sinned because you still have the precious blood on your life. Thank God that I was baptized with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wasn't just come up here and somebody just said, well, you're baptized. No.
No, I was baptized. I was baptized. I was immersed. I went down as the old man, as a sinner. But when I come up out of that water, I still could come up and I stood up in the newness of life with Jesus Christ walking beside me. Yes, you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to be immersed. You don't have to be sprinkled. You don't have to do all of them things to go to heaven. But being baptized is a testimony that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because you have to. It's not because the church commands you to. It's because of the heart, the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you for the Holy Spirit, for the Son of God, and for God the Father. That's the what you call the converting touch. A whole lot of times a day, we need to go back and we need to reminisce on the very moment that we got saved. What did we do then? The day that I got saved, what happened? The next morning, it didn't make no difference who it was. I went and told them because they'd always ask me, says, what's happened to you? I said, what do you mean what's happened? They said, seems like you got a little ump in your step. A little extra smile on your face. I said, well, since you asked, I'm going to tell you. Last night I got saved. Last night I met a man. The Master. The Messiah. He come into my heart because I asked him to. And I trusted him as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about I needed to come and join a local church. I didn't know anything about being baptized. I didn't know anything about the virgin birth. I didn't know anything about any of that. The only thing that I knew, something happened to me. And I've had people that say, well, you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven or not. I said, sir, or I'd say, ma'am. I says, I don't remember seeing you at my house that evening. Yes, I'm saved by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that brought conviction to me. Yes, saved, set apart, separated, sanctified, justified. Woo! Glory to be unto God. I tell you, if people ever get a good dose, I mean a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost dose, of God's love for them. They'll never be the same. We need the Master's touch. I need the Master's touch every day. Every morning that I get up, I need the Master's touch to touch these feet. To where these feet will carry me where he wants me to go.
I need the Master's touch upon my hands that I may handle the Word of God in the right way. I need the Master's touch upon these lips that they will not speak evil about anyone. They will not speak harsh words. Need the Master's touch upon my eyes that they may see what God has created around us. And all the beauty. Springtime, I reckon, is one of my favorite times of the year. Why? Because you have everything that will come back to life. Bring life. Them trees I hear. The one that has flowers, that bud. And you see the little small buds come on, and you say, it won't be long. It ain't going to be long before they're going to come out and open up. It ain't going to be long before Jesus Christ comes back after me and after you. It's not going to be long. But are you ready? Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready to go right now. If He's willing to split the sky, if He's willing to turn over to the angel there in heaven, you going to blow that trumpet, son? And he blow that trumpet, guess what? These ears is going to perk up. They're going to start. They're going to perk up. They're going to perk up. Why? Because I'm gone. As soon as my ears hear the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The ones that's gone on before us, the ones that's in the grave, they're going to rise. But they're not going to get to heaven. The bodies is not going to get to heaven no quicker than what mine will. We're going to all enter in at the same time. Can you imagine that? I've heard people talk, and I've heard people talk on the TV and everything, talk about Thanksgiving Day, that they went out and ate a meal at a restaurant or somewhere like that, and they had to wait in line. Some of them said they had to wait three hours. Because there were so many people there. But when that gate opens up, we're going to all just flood the gates of heaven. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! God has given us a cleansing touch. He has cleansed our soul from the unrighteousness, the sin. That will hinder our lives and hinder our walk and hinder our service. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3 says, and Jesus put forth his hands and touched him, saying, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Leprosy is a type of sin, of uncleanliness. We have a whole lot of people today does not realize it. But they're bogged down with leprosy. Why? Because of the sin, the uncleanness that they have in their life. Why? Because they've never met the Master. They never met the Master. The Master will give them a cleansing touch. The cleansing touch of the Master will purify us, will take us, and will take the refiner's fire and the fullest soap and just cleanse us to where we're spotless. Where Jesus Christ and the Father can see nothing, no flaw in us, can see nothing, no dead weight. But a whole lot of times, I'd say, Lord, I got a whole lot of dead weight. I got some dead branches. Father, I need pruning. I need pruning. We should never get so satisfied and so satisfied with what we know, with our heart, and what we believe, and what this Bible teaches. We should never get so used to all of that to where we cannot say, Jesus, purify me. Cleanse me once again. We need a daily cleansing. Just like Paul says, crucify me again. Crucify me. Because the first time you was crucified, but now you crucify me. The touch of the Master makes the difference. If you want a happy life, allow the Master to touch your life. How do you do that? Just go and talk to him. You say, well, preacher, I just can't pray. I just don't know what to say. This morning we've been here. How many in here this morning has just picked up a conversation, just said something to someone else? That's all he wants to do. He just wants us to have a conversation with him. That's all he wants us to do. Communicate with him. Sometimes, with some people, it's been so long since he's had any kind of communication with them. And he's not going to, you know, and the Lord's not going to communicate with people that don't want to communicate with him. He's not an unjust God. He's not one that will do something for me because I asked for it. And if you ask for it, he's not one to say no unto you. He's not an individual. He's not an individual that wants to say no to us. But when he does, go back to Abraham. Go back to Daniel. Through Hebrews. Go back to Paul. What? He's testing us. He's not tempting us to do something that we don't want to do, but He's testing us. He's testing our faith in Him when we go to Him and we ask Him. When we go and ask Him for one particular thing, and I mean, I'm just as guilty as anybody else, and I have a hard problem with it. But I know what I need to do. I know that when I go to Him, and I ask Him, and I tell Him what I would love for Him to do, not being selfish in any way and asking Him to do more for me than someone else. No, that's not like it. Just ask Him something to do. He's not one to say, "No, son." But son, it's been a week since I've heard from you. Now today you're in church and you want me to do something for you? Would you please? It don't work that way. He don't work that way. That'd be just like my wife now. If me and her, we got married and everything, and for a couple, two or three weeks, or maybe a month or two, if things going fine, then all of a sudden I just decide, I said, "I don't think I'm going to go home tonight. I think I'm going to go meet up with some of my buddies tonight. Not going out and meet up with my friends and everything." And I say, "I ain't got to go home tonight." She knows I'll be there when I get there. I don't show up that night. Don't show up the next night. Don't show up for three or four more days or a week. Then when I do come home, then what do? I come in and I bring what clothes I done dirtied up or smelly or something like that. And I'll come in, I'll bring them in, lay them at where the wash machine is. And I'll look to it and I'll say, "Well, honey, would you mind fixing me this and that?" What do you think she'd do? What do you think she'd do? I can tell you exactly what she'd do. She says, "You can wash your own clothes. And you can fix your own sandwich. Or you can just go on back out with your buddies again." I couldn't expect her to do all of that. But we do. But we do expect people like that. We expect people to do things for us. But yet we haven't done anything for them. It's just like God. Have we done anything special this week for God that we haven't done in a while? Have we? Have we just went out here and just invited someone to church? And they said, "Well, you know, I've been thinking about coming down there myself. I heard y'all got old crazy preacher down there now. He says sometimes he gets up there and he preaches kind of low. Says then the next time he gets up and preach, he'll be preaching heavy and hard and all like that. Says he preaches on hell." He said, "You know, I ain't used to stuff like that." He said, "But I'll tell you one thing. If you just come and give us a try, I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Oh yeah, they're gonna come in and they're gonna search me over. They're gonna search me over to where what I'm doing, is it right? Is it proper? The only thing that I know about right and the word proper is this Bible. The King James Bible is the right Bible that I use. And it has the proper understanding of it if we have the right teacher. But we have to have the right teacher. That right teacher is the Holy Ghost. He will teach you all things according to God's Word. Then when you get in the Bible and you start reading the Bible, so I don't quite understand this. I need to stay here a little while longer. I need to go and read that back again. I need to reread it and all that. You know, I worried about that for years. Because a whole lot of it I didn't understand. A whole lot of it today I still don't understand. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ told me, He said, you don't have to understand it. All you have to do is just read it. And when you need it, then the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, either one, bring it back to the foreknowledge of you, that you will have the insight on what it was really saying. And a whole lot of times what we don't understand is because we haven't been through this situation. We need to put our shoes or our feet in the way some other people are. But we don't know what people go through. I don't know what each and every one of you go through. But you know, it doesn't make no difference because I love you. I love you anyhow, and I will do anything I can to keep you here in the house of the Lord. Except changing God's Word. I cannot change God's Word. It's not nothing that I say. Everything I say, you can find in the Word of God. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, we do thank you for the Master's touch upon our lives, Father. And Father, we just want to ask you, Lord Jesus, to do something special for these people. Father, because, Lord, I believe each one of these individuals that is present this morning. Father, I believe that this is me speaking in human flesh, that I believe that these people are your choice servants here. Father, why? Because I see their faith and what that they want this church to do. And their faith in you, Lord. So, Father, we pray, God, that you will just touch. You'll intervene, Father, for where you need to intervene. And, Father, and intervene on the people's lives that's out here in the world. And, Father, they really don't know what they're missing. And they really don't know the true meaning
of the Master's touch. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Everyone stand.